This episode is brought to you in part by the Douglas Mattress. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. One of the best, and I mean the best things you can do for yourself is to get a good quality mattress. The time is now, people. Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress protector, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is also brought to you in part by AG1. Taking care of your health should be simple, and with AG1, it really is. Every scoop includes ingredients for gut, energy, stress, and immune support. If you want to take ownership over your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 now, and you'll get a free welcome kit that includes a shaker bottle, canister, and metal scoop, along with 5 free travel packs and a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2, all with your first purchase. Just go to drinkag1.com/commons. That is drinkag1.com/commons. Check it out. When Raj Chauhan first arrived in Canada in 1973, he did what a lot of Indian immigrants did at the time. He got a job on a farm.
It was out of curiosity. I just wanted to see how farming was done in Canada, coming from a farming family myself.
He had expected that conditions on farms would be much better than back in Punjab. He was wrong.
When I went to work in the fields, it was shocking. Like, it was no basic amenities, no nothing, no toilets, running water. None of that existed. I thought a country like Canada would be much more advanced than a country like India, where I came from, where workers basically didn't have any right, and here the same thing.
Throughout Canadian history, farming has been treated completely differently from other forms of labor. Even as farms moved away from being smaller, family-run operations and turned into full-fledged agribusiness, governments have refused to provide farm workers with even the most basic protections. Historically, farm workers haven't even been considered employees. They haven't been covered by employment standards or health and safety legislation. They've generally had no right to unionize or collectively bargain. And often, they don't even qualify for minimum wage. So when Raj arrived, it's not a stretch to say that farm workers had no rights whatsoever. By the time that Raj was in British Columbia, this underclass of workers was overwhelmingly made up of Punjabi immigrants. Over 80% of BC's 12,000 farm workers at the time came from Punjab, with the rest made up of Chinese immigrants and Francophones from Ontario and Quebec. Despite working in the hot sun, the farm workers, many of them quite elderly, were often denied water. They'd nowhere to go to the bathroom. They were paid poverty wages, as low as $2,500 a year, and had to work sunrise to sunset 7 days a week. Workers often had to spray pesticides like parathion, which can cause instant death without any protective equipment. And then there were the children. A considerable portion of the berry pickers were underage kids.
We saw lots of kids during the summertime, during the harvest season. But people couldn't afford to leave their kids at home with somebody else or with childcare worker. None of that was available. So kids, summertime when they're out of school, they would go to the fields. They were playing around.
Amongst those children was my own mom and her two younger brothers. They arrived in Canada just a year after Raj, when my mom was 14. It's possible that they worked side by side with Raj, picking berries in the Fraser Valley. Now, this reliance on child labor wasn't a secret. The farmers publicly defended it, claiming it helped the children build work ethic. Here's Martin Smith, a Lower Mainland farm owner, speaking in the 1981 documentary A Time to Rise about the composition of his workforce.
Majority are over the age of 65. Or it's wives, and they got their little kids out there picking that's under the age of 8, 9 years old. It's the majority of kids working, and you get a few mothers that's working with the kids. It's a good experience. The mothers get closer to the kids out in the field. They talk a little bit freer when they're working with them. It's not the best job in the world, but it's a good job for for kids to learn how to work for somebody else.
I really honestly did not expect that, you know, we would face those kind of situations here in Canada when I came here.
Faced with all of this, Raj felt like he had to do something. He would go on to be a leading figure in one of the most important labor movements in modern times, the creation of the Canadian Farmworkers Union, as it would come to be called, was the first step in a struggle that continues to this day. Because even now, farm workers have far fewer rights than almost any other class of worker. And even today, the men and women who grow our food are subject to horrific working conditions and racial discrimination. But to understand why the situation remains so bad, we need to go back in time to a moment when there was progress and hope. A moment when it looked like things might truly change for the better. I'm Arshi Mann, and this is Commons. More after the break. This episode is brought to you in part by Douglas. Now, I have had a Douglas mattress for a few years, and I've yet to find a single thing about it that I don't like. Getting a good night's sleep is very important, and having a good mattress is really the most crucial piece of the puzzle to make that happen. I think we're all a little guilty of underestimating just how big a difference a good mattress can make, but once you do have one, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Even years later, my mattress remains truly great. It is comfortable, supportive, and it is like a breeze getting it set up in the apartment. There's a reason why it's trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. You can try a Douglas mattress for 365 days, and I'd highly recommend that you do. You can thank me later. Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress protector, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. When Raj Chauhan decided something needed to be done about the working conditions on BC farms, he jumped into action. Unlike most of his fellow farm workers, he had experience with organizing and activism back in India.
Before I came to Canada, I was a student in India, and I was the general secretary of student union there as well. I led a couple of strikes before, so I was quite familiar with that kind of work.
He hadn't come to Canada to work on a farm, but his experience there would shape the course of his life.
In many ways, I was just like a naive young man, you know, like anybody else. And I was here to go to law school to, you know, just like my two other brothers. I wanted to do that, but I didn't do it. I gave up all that.
Even before Raj had arrived, a group of young articling students, including future BC Premier Ujjal Dosanjh, had been providing legal advice to some of the farm workers. Raj and a number of other idealistic young organizers began to try to build support for some kind of collective action. Some of the main organizers would go on to be well-known names in BC politics, including Harinder Mahil, a future head of the BC Human Rights Commission, and Charan Gill, one of the most important labor activists in recent BC history. But in those early years, it wasn't easy going.
You're basically hitting brick wall and not getting anywhere because people are not really comfortable to talk about it. It took a long time to start something because the workers were so much intimidated. They were fearful.
And the main thing that people feared were the labor contractors. The labor contractors were the linchpin in this system of labor exploitation. They were middlemen hired by the farm owners to bring in the workers. They were the ones who provided the transportation to the farms, usually in the form of incredibly dangerous cargo vans overstuffed with workers. And they got paid by taking a huge chunk of every farm worker's wage, usually around 30%. The contractors were usually Punjabi themselves. Some made as much as $2,200 a day, as much as some of the farm workers made in a season. And they wielded incredible power over the people they oversaw.
It was because people didn't know about their rights here, what protection they would have had. And plus, they were told that if you talk to anybody to talking about the union things, you will be deported. So that's what people told, and many people believed in that. As a result, The power of the labor contract was enormous. They basically controlled their lives.
If the contractor overheard any talk of organizing, that could mean no more shifts. They sometimes withheld payments for months at a time. And some of the worst ones preyed on young female workers under their purview.
The young female farm workers who went to work, who were new immigrants here in Canada, they were sexually exploited. There were a couple of young women that during those days I met with, and we found out what they went through. We tried to find support for them, you know, encourage them to go public. But the stigma, cultural stigma, was so big, they were not willing to go out, and the families were not willing to do that. But it happened so many times, but because of lack of legal protections or laws, nothing could be done. Nothing was done.
This system of almost total control was what Raj and his colleagues were up against. So they looked for inspiration south of the border, where years earlier, Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Workers Union had fought similar battles against the powerful California growers.
In 1965, the workers in the fields said, basta. We're fed up with all of the exploitation. We're fed up with being the worst paid workers in America. We're fed up with being exploited. We want a new life. We want a union. We want to do something for ourselves and our families. And they went on strike.
And they didn't just emulate Chavez from afar. Chavez himself became an important advisor to this nascent movement in British Columbia.
He really mentored me to do all this work. By working closely with him, I learned how they did it in the 60s in California. So we tried somewhat similar method here.
One of the main tools in their arsenal was the kitchen meeting.
So we called like a worker who was willing to talk to us, and he or she would then invite some of their friends to their house, sit down, one person, four person, five person at a time. That's how we increased our presence amongst the farm workers community, and that helped a lot.
In California, Chavez and the UFW tapped into Catholic teachings and images that resonated with the largely Mexican-American farm workers there. Chavez would organize statewide marches during Lent and refer to them as pilgrimages. He'd speak of penance and protest under banners depicting Our Lady of Guadalupe. So in BC, Raj and the others organized Bhangra performances and infused their campaigns with the language of Sikhism. Gurdwaras were at the center of cultural life for most BC Sikhs and would be essential organizing sites. But back then, the executive committees were often controlled by the contractors and Sikh farm owners. So the organizers would reserve the space for religious ceremonies, and of course, they'd use the opportunity to try to convince any farm workers who showed up about the importance of organizing.
So we have had a really hard time getting into there. So what we did, we would ask one of the farm workers to book the Gurdwara for some khandpat or something, you know. So then we had a legitimate place there to go and speak. So that's how we did it.
Raj began this organizing work in 1973. It took 5 years of slow, frustrating effort for them to feel comfortable enough to even hold an official meeting in public.
It was September 1978, first time when we were able to meet in a library in Surrey, where about close to 30 members, first time ever came. And we had a conversation amongst ourselves. We never looked back after that.
1979, the farm workers were finally ready to make their presence felt. They created the Farm Workers Organizing Committee and began to hold public rallies, trying to garner media attention about the working conditions on BC farms. And that summer, they organized their first action. The target was Mukhtiar Growers in Clearbrook, BC. More than 200 workers on that farm hadn't been paid by their labor contractor in 6 weeks. They were owed more than $80,000 in back wages. The farm workers and the CFU picketed outside the farm and refused to return to work unless they were paid what they were owed.
The workers claimed that the farm owner had withheld their pay, made them pick berries under intolerable conditions, and called them names.
And the CFU succeeded immediately.
We got that check, then we distributed right at the picket line that we were having in front of his farm. And similarly, we filed another case against another labor contractor. We were able to win a large amount of money again for the workers who were not paid for the whole season. So those kind of victories helped us to reach out to the workers. Once we started the FWOC, the Farm Workers Organizing Committee, the media really thought that it's going to be like same movement they had seen in California. So we would have rallies almost every weekend. We would have community meetings every weekend. It became a really big movement.
By 1980, they were finally ready to take the big leap that they had been building up to. On April 6th, farm workers packed into a lecture theater at Douglas College to create Canada's first ever Farm Workers Union. The convention delegates, most of them Punjabi Sikhs, were asked to judge the new union constitution. They were all ages, men and women, many with children bouncing on their knees. And all together, they raised their hands in approval.
The votes in favor? Okay, Mirwani. It seemed to be nobody is against this motion. The constitution of the Canadian Farm Workers Union is adopted. Thank you.
And the man elected as its first president was Raj Chauhan. Here he is addressing the delegates on that day.
From India, from pre-liberated China, and from other colonized countries, our people came to this land at the beginning of this century. Many were denied entry because of the color of our skin. But some of us got in. We asked for work. We were given slave wages. We asked for dignity. We were racially abused. To this day, the government has broken every promise to cover us under the minimum wage and other such acts. Today, we have an opportunity to advance our struggle.
We have worked hard, and today, we have our union, first time in the history of Canada.
The keynote speaker for the event was the man who'd helped inspire this movement, Cesar Chavez. The man who had led one of the greatest civil rights movements of the 20th century got up to the podium wearing a simple green shirt and addressed the crowd.
If there's anybody here that's going to go back and tell the growers what happened here tonight, or if there's a grower here, or if they're listening to us, here's some good sound advice, Mr. Grower. Negotiate with the Canadian Farm Workers Union right now before you make the same mistake the California growers made, and then that you're going to see really what it means organizing a union and having the power to force you to sign contracts. Mr. Grower, recognize that we're human beings. We'll get along okay. Mr. Grower, don't go around telling the rest of the public that I am a very good person because I give the farm workers jobs. I do them a favor. Because the workers don't have any skills, don't kid yourself. There's a lot of skill in farm labor. There's a lot of skill in farm labor.
The founding of the Canadian Farm Workers Union was a jubilant moment for the men and women who'd spent years organizing. But they couldn't celebrate for long. It was only days later that CFU Vice President Jawala Singh Grewal had his car window smashed and graffiti painted on his house. And Raj started getting calls. The men on the other end of the line threatened him and his family, even his young daughter.
And I got a call almost middle of night one day. Somebody called and said, "Are you Raj Chauhan?" I said, "Yes, I am. Tomorrow is going to be your last day." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You know, we are going to kill your daughter. We are going to do this." I said, "Okay, tell me where you want me to meet with." Because I was afraid, but I didn't want to show that on the phone. But those kind of threats were quite common.
The CFU didn't know if it was the farmers or the contractors, or both, who were engaging in this harassment campaign. But they weren't the only forces that had to be contended with. During the 1970s and 80s, the Ku Klux Klan had a significant presence in Vancouver.
We used to have a small office in Burnaby on the 6th Street. One morning I came there, the windows were smashed, and somebody put KKK stickers all over. It was very frightening. But at the same time, the support we were receiving from farm workers, from the labor movement, from the community in general, that was very encouraging. So that kept us going. It happened so many times. After a while, you feel that, you know, sense that, you know, are you under threat or you are feeling more emboldened, you know, that you want to do it, you want to stop or you want to continue. But those kind of incidents were very common. When you go to the farms, you feel that there was no friendliness. There was no welcoming for us in the farms. We met with those incidents like vicious dogs. Even at one time, farmer pulled a gun on us. But we somehow managed to continue.
So many of the CFU's victories were punctuated with violence. One of the CFU's earliest targets was Jensen Mushroom Farms in Langley.
We made an application to the Labor Board for certification. It was fought really hard by the growers to keep us out of organizing farm workers. It took several days, but at the end of the day, then, you know, when we finally got the decision, the chair at that time was Don Monroe, who was the head of Labor Relations Board. And when he said we won the certification, I couldn't control myself. I was so emotional. There was a TV camera. So I was crying my eyes, my balls out. It was just, yeah, it was very emotional because it was like, you know, after 9 months, you're delivering a baby. That's how you felt. And it was very emotional.
That same night, CFU members were celebrating at a bar in East Vancouver. Sarwan Bol was one of the organizers enjoying himself that night. Here he is speaking in A Time to Rise.
And I was coming out with the other two Jensen Mushroom workers. We were actually chanting slogans saying, Canadian Farm Worker Union is in the bar. And we saw four people coming. And they started saying to me, you fucking Hindu, let's get him, let's get this Hindu. And they started beating me up on the back. And I was fainted and fell on the ground. You know, they kept kicking me.
Sarwan was beaten unconscious and was only saved by two other CFU members who scared the attackers off. Everyday farm workers were also threatened with violence. Here's a young worker speaking about what a farm supervisor told her would happen if she joined the union.
One time, me and Naseeb said that we want to make the union and we want to want the good pay. And the bread threatened us that he kill us. He will kill us if we make the union. We're not afraid.
And on the farms themselves, even more horrible events were taking place. At one Abbotsford farm, farm workers were being housed in horse stalls. And in the night, a seven-month-old girl, Sukhdeep Madhar, rolled off her cot and drowned in a bucket of water. Just weeks later, it would happen again.
Three kids who were playing while their parents were picking berries, and they wandered off to some part of the farm, and there was a pond full of water, and they drowned in it.
An 8-year-old named Gurjeet Pajata fell into the water first and drowned. His older brother, Sumandeep, and another boy, Bhuta Basi, went in to try to save him. They both drowned too. The CFU had been demanding daycare and safe housing since the beginning of their campaign, and now four children had died in less than a month. That same summer, another man, Hamil Graywall, died of pesticide poisoning. Despite the horrors, the BC government, under Social Credit Premier Bill Bennett, refused to do anything. They were deeply enmeshed with the province's powerful agricultural lobby, and even the media attention around the many deaths didn't compel them to provide workplace protections for farm workers. The government remained firmly on side with the growers. But the CFU did have a route to try to make things better, through collective bargaining. They'd been deemed the bargaining agent at Jensen Mushroom Farms in Langley, as well as two other farms. But after months of negotiations, they still didn't have a deal. So in March 1981, they decided to strike. Jensen responded by firing all of the farm workers and bringing in scabs. The CFU organized a 24-hour picket line outside the farm. Raj remembers one day where he and a handful of other CFU members had taken on the morning shift at the picket line.
One day, we had about 8 members on the morning shift. Well, we were marching back and forth. Around 4 o'clock, they had to leave, and the next shift was a little late, so about another 5 members were going to come and join me. I stayed there. People inside the farm were watching that I was just left alone at the picket line. It's a narrow road going to inside the farm by the freeway, and there was a big ditch on one side and a narrow road. And these people from inside came out on 2 pickup trucks driving side by side. And when I was standing there, they basically pushed me into the ditch. Then a couple of them came out and we had a scuffle and I got hit and I was pushing them back, so trying to protect myself. Then suddenly I saw blood all over myself and I said, oh my God, did I hit somebody or they stabbed me or what happened? I had my car keys in my hand, so I self-stabbed myself. And this one guy punched me right in the face. I fell in the ditch. And then they took off. Within a few minutes, the police arrived there. And they called police. The police came there. The officer was harassing me. Why I was standing there, I was not letting people go. And, you know, I was blocking traffic. All kind of nonsensical stuff. And I tried to argue with them that it was they who were hitting me. I'm the victim, not they. And then he would not believe me. But luckily, one of our lawyers who worked in Abbotsford Community Legal Community Office, Farm Workers Legal Center, he came and he saw, because it was right on the freeway, he jumped over the fence and came to my defense. If Jim had not been there, I would have been arrested, no doubt about it.
For Raj, it was just another reminder that the organs of the state were entirely arrayed on the side of the growers and against the farm workers.
While you had no power and you are harassed, you are intimidated, you are beaten up, yet the law was again on the farmer's side trying to stop you to do that work what we were trying to do.
The strike continued for another 15 months. During that time, there were more beatings, more attacks, and even an attempt to burn down a trailer while a picketer slept inside. But in 1982, there was finally an agreement. Eventually, the union was able to succeed in signing a contract. It should have been a victory, but it turned out to be poisoned fruit. The farm owner quickly began to stuff the union rolls with family members and friends. It wasn't long before another vote was held, and the union was decertified. And in some ways, that was the story throughout the 1980s for the CFU. Government promises to eventually protect farm workers under workplace safety legislation got deferred year after year after year. In 1983, the BC Human Rights Commission noted that the jobs exempted from these standards were almost always done by non-white people. Quote, "We are at best unwilling perpetrators of a modern, sanitized, no-name brand of discrimination." That same year, Bill Bennett's government unleashed a torrent of legislation that slashed social spending and curtailed workers' rights. At a time when farm workers were asking to be treated like everyone else, the standards for everyone else were going down instead. In 1984, under pressure from the growers, the Social Credit government introduced changes to the BC Labor Code, making it even more difficult for farm workers to unionize, directly targeting the efforts of the CFU. The next year, they introduced more legislation, limiting the rights of workers to picket and strike and making it easier to decertify unions. That legislation was the death of the Canadian Farm Workers Union as a representative entity. They lost certification at all but one farm. But that didn't mean that they stopped, because the secret of the Canadian Farm Workers Union was that they were more than simply a union.
It was a social movement. We had no dues collecting base. We had no assets. We had no nothing. It's all volunteers working together.
The CFU's efforts would finally bear real fruit in 1993. The new Democrats were elected, ending the grower-friendly rule of the Social Credit Party. And one of their first major initiatives was to grant farm workers workplace health and safety rights that they had been denied for so long. But that had been the bare minimum ask of the Canadian Farm Workers Union. The labor contractor system wasn't dismantled. In fact, it persists to this day. Minimum wage and overtime benefits often depend upon whether a left-wing or right-wing government is in power. And many workers have died in the years since. So I asked Raj, who left the CFU in the mid-1980s, what he thinks the legacy of the movement has been.
The successes were that finally we were able to raise that awareness to such a level that people could see the injustice, the discrimination against one segment of workers. They were not covered under the law like anybody else. Failure was that because of lack of legal protection, we were not able to sustain the union which we hoped for. So that was quite a big setback in the sense, because in order to continue the fight, you need to have some base which would help us to have a staff or organizers to go out. We couldn't do that. So that was the big setback that, you can call it, that I felt and my other friends felt the same thing.
One of the main successes of the CFU was taking the struggle for farm workers' rights to other provinces. The CFU was able to organize tobacco pickers in Ontario and continues to serve as an inspiration to organizers in that province to this day. But more importantly to my mind is the fact that the CFU was able to make progress for some of the most vulnerable workers at a time when labor was in retreat. They organized thousands of people, mostly seniors and women, many of whom didn't speak English and who faced intense racial discrimination in their everyday lives. And they did this under the threat of constant violence. Even if they didn't win, they sure as hell fought back. Even after he left the CFU, Raj Chauhan continued to work as a labor activist, leading collective bargaining at the Hospital Employees Union for 2 decades.
But people in the labor movement still remember me, what I did with the farm workers. Nobody remembers what I did with HEU. That makes me proud that, we were able to get that moment in my life. So I really cherish that, because even though we had very limited resources, but we were able to make that impact. That's what I really feel proud of. It humbled me that when you are committed to do something, you can achieve something, maybe not everything, but at least it would leave some very good impact on people's lives.
Raj eventually ran for office and was elected as an NDP MLA in 2005. Today, he's the Speaker of the House for British Columbia's Legislative Assembly. And when he welcomes ambassadors and other foreign dignitaries to his office, they're greeted by an unusual sight. It's a blown-up photo of Raj as a young man protesting at a farm in Langley, his fist raised in defiance. But even from his perch in the legislature, Raj still believes that the fight must continue.
Things have changed, but not as changed as somebody like to believe. The workers' rights are not still provided to them as they deserve to be. So they need to be organized. They need to stand up. They need to have collective voice. So you can't stop organizing. Doesn't matter if it's indigenous rights, women's rights, human rights, workers' rights, because if we don't stand up for ourselves, nobody's going to do it for you. Don't be afraid to speak up. We have to do it. We have to continue to raise our voice. Otherwise, those issues are not going to be dealt with. We can't take anything for granted. Keep marching.
That's your episode of Commons. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. This episode relied on work done by Anand Patwardhan and Jim Monroe, Rod Mickelberg, David Ball, Kim Boland, the Canadian Farm Workers Union Project at Simon Fraser University, the BC Labour Heritage Centre, and many, many others. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at CommonsPod. You can also email me, archie@canadaland.com. This episode was produced by me, Noor Azria, and Jordan Cornish. Our production coordinator is Andre Pruhl. Our editor-in-chief is Karen Puglesi. And our music is by Nathan Burley. If you value this podcast, please support us. We rely on listeners like you paying for journalism, and as a supporter, you will get premium access to all of our shows ad-free, including early releases and bonus content. You'll also get our exclusive newsletter, discounts on Canada Land merch, invites and tickets to our live and virtual events, and more than anything, you'll be a part of the solution to Canada's journalism crisis. And you'll be keeping our work free and accessible to everybody else. Come join us. Click the link in your show notes or go to canadaland.com/join. You can listen to Commons ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. This episode of Commons is brought to you in part by Canardian. What is Canardian, you ask? Well, it is a podcast that's gossiping about Canadian hometowns. Every episode, podcast producer and writer Katie Lauer is joined by various Canadian podcasting personalities to unravel the juicy stories about their hometowns from trusted sources like eyewitness testimony, community Facebook groups, subreddits, and Wikipedia. Nothing I say is fact-checked, but it is pretty dang entertaining. And you know who is a guest on this season of Canardian? Well, none other than yours truly. So if you are interested in the very important distinctions between Surrey and North Delta, if you want to learn whether or not I could outrun the Delta PD, well, this is the podcast for you. Listen and subscribe to Canardian from Pod the North right now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. This episode is brought to you in part by the Douglas Mattress. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. One of the best, and I mean the best things you can do for yourself is to get a good quality mattress. The time is now, people. Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress protector, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.